from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I wouldn't say feel nothing. I got a job to do. Come in, make plays, and help us win. So I'm just eager to do that every day.
Keon Coleman, Bills rookie wide receiver, of course, looking for preseason game number 2. We'll see if he gets more usage. Okay, now, IR might mean he's out for the season. 2 are allowed to return, only if placed on IR at the final cuts. So, it might mean that
Place on IR at the final cuts.
Yeah, Sal's looking into it. Because we had somebody say if you get put on IR now, it might even mean that your season is over. So, if that's the case for Chase Claypool, well, he didn't get cut.
Our bet up there, we have 2 contradicting things. It's Bills wide receivers to make the team. I don't feel like him being on IR means he made the team. He won't be part of the 53.
But he didn't get cut.
But then my part of the bet says that any of the 6 get cut. He's also not getting cut.
Right. We'll have to take it to an
MVS getting cut would make all this a lot easier.
Right. Otherwise, we'll just avoid the bet. Matt Waldman joins us on the Western Hotline. He of the rookie scouting portfolio. Had him on before. I feel like, Matt, we talked a lot going back to the Josh Allen draft year and watching him come out of college. We were, obsessed with all those quarterbacks. And here we are. Many years later, Allen has shined up quite nicely, and now we're looking at a rookie receiver and talking to you about Keon Coleman. Thanks for taking some time this morning, Matt.
Yeah, man, my pleasure.
So you wrote a big, long piece about Coleman and sent it out again yesterday. It caught my eye. I made a point to read it. And I found it really interesting because you were talking about not only Coleman's skill set, but not even just the offense to put him in, but the type of quarterback that you think would best fit Coleman. So as you were writing this up and you ultimately find out his landing spot is Buffalo, how did you like it as a spot, and where are the Bills in terms of what they can do with Keon Coleman?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good spot for him, mainly because when you have Keon Coleman's the best pass catcher in contested situations of any wide receiver in this draft class. And so when you have a quarterback who leans on his athletic ability sometimes to a fault, that means that he's got stone cold confidence in his receivers to go up and make plays. And Coleman's a great complement for a quarterback of that nature. But also, some of the things where Allen has really developed well and showed signs of that when he was at Wyoming and then continued to build on it was the ability to anticipate and throw with anticipation and be confident enough to hit those second or third options with a level of anticipation. And Coleman's the type of receiver that people often really didn't understand his game because of the fact that maybe he wasn't a classic speedster with great acceleration, but he's a player that does get open with good route skills. And so if he's going to be that receiver in the, as the second or third guy in the progression, he's going to get open, but it's going to be a tighter window, especially in the NFL, as is the case. And Allen's the type of quarterback, has enough skill to be able to hit a player with that level of route running. And then on top of it, he's a very good player after the catch. I mean, this guy returned punts at Florida State. You don't return punts unless you're very skilled in traffic, efficient with your movement, quick, and someone who understands how to work through contact. And he averaged 12 yards per punt return at Florida State, which is a pretty respectable number. And, you know, I've always joked, you know, like a lot of people didn't like LeGarrette Blount, the Patriots running back, coming out of school because they thought he was big and slow. And you'd hear a lot of NFL analysts who don't really scout the game talk about how slow he is because they just look at 40 times. But LeGarrette Blount was a very nuanced runner with a great short area quickness, and short area quickness that you see maybe in a three cone or a 20 shuttle with the initial acceleration is a lot more valuable to football than a 40 time or even a 10-yard split off of a sprinter start. And Keon Coleman, I joke around, is kind of going to be that LeGarrette Blount of wide receivers where people, you know, superficially talk about his athletic ability and show their ignorance on that level.
Some of your comps included, like the spectrum, Anquan Boldin, Mike Williams, like that's body type kind of guy, physical receiver, the ability to kind of bully at the catch point. And you know, as you say, his contested catch ability is tremendous. Do you feel like looking back on this draft, Matt, we were very, very dialed into the idea of receiver for the Bills. We thought they needed one before they traded Stephon Diggs. You know, they trade Diggs and it becomes a glaring hole. And a lot of the, I think the big view of the draft class was that guys at the top are the guys with number one potential and the rest have ability, but maybe it's specific roles. Do you think that that is correct? That Coleman will have a very important role and can be a very big contributor, but the idea that he's going to blossom into number one, is there any part of the spectrum there that you think exists?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely exists because you have to understand the type of offense that the player is going to be in, because I don't think any of those same people who gave that kind of assessment to Keon Coleman probably gave anywhere near the same assessment of they probably gave a very similar assessment to Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit's offense. I don't think anybody looked at him and said, that's going to be a stone-cold, you know, number three receiver overall in the league in terms of, you know, production, as an, you know, and be like one of the top receivers in the league. I think people thought he was good and he could have a role. Or a Michael Thomas, you know, when he was with the Saints. I mean, a lot of it is about fit with an offense. And so, you know, Coleman can be that outside guy on contested routes and get enough opportunities also in the red zone to win targets at the boundary and occasionally win off play action and beat people deep. But he's also a guy who could kind of work inside and be almost like a big slot who leads the way in the same way that even like a Michael Crabtree did a number of years ago in Greg Roman's offense in San Francisco before you guys unfortunately had the Roman-Ryan combination for a little while, but didn't really have a receiver beyond Watkins, and Watkins wasn't all that reliable, unfortunately, for all his talent. But you look at Coleman, and he certainly has a potential fit here. And I thought this was one of the most talent-rich classes since that Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham, you know, class of 2014. So there were more than just four guys in this class. There were, you know, in terms of guys that I graded, you know, this was a report that I did pre-draft in April that I shared a sample of from my rookie scouting portfolio, which, you know, I've been doing for heading towards 20 years of this. This was probably one of the richer classes that I've studied in terms of potential. Obviously, potential doesn't always equal reality, but with the fit he has and the way that the Bills are going to condense looks, play heavy sets, try and create matchups where the receivers have are going to be able to earn different types of matchups, and it's about distributing the ball. Early on, Keon Coleman is going to show up and probably be the wide receiver one on this team. But I think that as he evolves, the offense evolves, and Allen kind of gets a better feel for, you know, where he's going to be distributed and where he can take advantage of different looks, Coleman certainly is a candidate to elevate to that status, because a lot of the skills are there, even if the blinding speed and acceleration combination isn't tops among, you know, guys in this draft class. But people overemphasize speed. I joke that speed is kind of the cleavage of NFL decision makers and media. They see that and they lose their minds. And a certain level of speed is good enough. It's a baseline. More of it doesn't necessarily mean better if you don't have the accompanying skills.
Right. Yeah, like hearing you talk about Coleman and like the types of ways he can win, do you almost feel like he could be someone that will bloom later as the season goes on? Because if we're talking about like contested catch stuff on the outside and, you know, big slot too, like especially if he's not open on some of these plays, it'll probably take time for Allen to trust him in those situations, or maybe not, right? Like if he starts flashing early in those ways, I guess how reliant do you think he is on those contested targets on the outside? And is that even okay if he is relying on it because he's so good at it?
Oh, he's excellent at it, but I think the big issue is really it's incumbent upon your quarterback. And as good as Josh Allen has been, it still requires a level of rapport to trust that. And the Bills have been notoriously cautious with how they use their rookies and how they target, you know, especially their skill players. You look at James Cook 2 years ago, you look at Dalton Kincaid last year, where he was just basically a flat route king, and you had one of the best contested catch tight ends coming out in the draft who was a seam stretcher and a jump ball winner. You had Khalil Shakir earlier, where, you know, Shakir was a guy I really liked, and you'd see Josh Allen target him in the middle of the field between two defenders in zone, and you go up and win it. But it seemed like the staff and the media were talking about how he dropped some balls in practice. But you look at what he's done whenever he's been on the field. He didn't drop a lot of balls on the field. He was quite reliable, but they were cautious about how they were using him. And I think that that's just a consistent theme with how the Bills are with rookies. They're a little conservative on that end, and that's okay. You know, they've got a good team, and they're contending, and they don't want to lose games or lose possessions because they have a young player that they have a luxury to be able to use, and there's a lot of upside there, but they don't want to create scenarios where there's mistakes that cost them games. And I think that Coleman is probably in that situation for the Bills this year. And if he continues to grow into it, that's fine. But, you know, they're going to roll with Shakir and Samuel, and you're going to see, Kincaid probably be one of your leading receivers out of these condensed sets that you see with, like, the 49ers and the Lions and the like with that. You know, you look at, the Bills cover one site. I did a long article on deep dive into Dalton Kincaid and how they're going to be used, and credited and cited some of the work that Eric Turner and the cover one guys do. Mm-hmm. And, and talking about those sets, and they're dead on about what you'll likely see. And I think that that's, with Coleman, you'll probably see him get situational usage, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to get those targets. And Allen's going to have to develop that rapport, especially in the scramble drills, and that's where he and Kincaid needed time. And Kincaid was even saying this spring, it's still a work in progress for us, because that rapport doesn't come instantly most of the time.
Matt Waldman, rookie scouting portfolio on some Bills players, on Keon Coleman. You mentioned Kincaid there, and the tighter, the condensed sets. The Bills, when Josh Allen started, played a lot of three receivers, a lot of spread, sometimes even four receivers out there in empty sets. And it was just, Allen was a point guard, and it was wide open. And now we've seen a bit of a change. How much do you think the league has changed the way they play these quarterbacks, these top-tier quarterbacks, drives that? And does it translate, it seems like a ridiculous question to say, like, does it translate well to Allen's skill set? But, you know, it is definitely a different kind of offense that he's been in years past. It's been drifting this way. I wonder your thoughts on it as an idea going forward for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Allen, when you start with his development, the Bills did a great job with that because he certainly had all the flashy physical skills and some of the technical skills that you want from a top prospect. But they were they did a great job of looking at him and saying, look, you're not a finished product. We're going to spread the field so that there are a lot of big rushing lanes for you to access. And if you don't even see your second read, or you're not confident about your second read, just run year one. And then they kind of evolved everything to kind of create looks where his receivers were running through multiple coverage lanes within one route so that Allen could break the pocket and find the target easier rather than having some of these timing routes that just terminate with a break back to the quarterback or to the boundary, and then they have to reroute, and then that rapport gets fuzzy, especially with how many times Allen can sometimes reverse field and spin around and lose you know, his eyes downfield and have to regain them. So when he knows that a guy's just breaking across the field, he has more opportunities. I'm not, you know, that's more complementary to his style of play, and he worked very well with it. I think what you're going to see here with the condensed looks is you're going to see easier matchups where you're going to get, you know, linebackers and safeties on players who are more athletic. Sometimes even defensive ends are forced to have to cover with these types of looks. You know, you're going to see more option routes in the middle of the field that benefit your athletic receivers, getting guys to catch the ball on the move still, but also you're giving these receivers more room from their starting point tight to the formation to the boundary out in space. And that a lot, you know, so you're creating space. It's just created in a different way. I think the biggest adjustment will now be, you know, with Diggs leaving, that the aim of this offense since the second half of the season last year is to distribute the ball a little bit more equitably rather than lean on one guy. And we'll see if that evolves again once they find a guy to lean on who maybe proves that he can be that. But right now I think it's more about will Allen, you know, make some of those trust throws to players that maybe aren't at Stephon Diggs' level. And that may be the adjustment for Allen that might lead to some minor hiccups.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel like that already kind of happened second half of last year with a guy that I know, you know, hearing you for years, you've been big on Khalil Shakir since his days in college. I mean, he started to see the target share go up at the end of last year. I mean, I don't think, Matt, he's going to lead the NFL in yards per target again, but I have to think his volume is going up because him and Allen looked like that trust had started to grow as the season went on.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what you're going to see. I always kind of compared Khalil Shakir to a faster Hines Ward, you know, kind of a workman-like player who can make the tough plays, give you yards after the catch, and run pretty good routes within a spectrum of the route tree where maybe he's not your top one-on-one producer, but he can win contested plays and be tough about it. And I think that, you know, he and, you know, Samuels are probably similar types of players, and that kind of also gives you an indication of what Joe Brady and the offense were looking for, is that they are looking for players who can be a little bit of the running back in open space, who can be tough at the catch point, and who can work with their quarterback on scramble drills and continue to work their ways open. And they're not maybe big plotting guys who maybe get worn out a little bit from having to do a lot of that type of thing, because, you know, Allen oftentimes is prone to the, you know, forced to scramble, and he's very good at being able to keep plays alive that other guys would be sacked. So, you know, that enhances the amount of targets they're going to get where they're going to have to work themselves free and create on the, you know, past the structure of the play. So, yeah, I mean, I think Shakir could be the number two target winner in this offense, possibly, but I'd say the safe bet is probably the number three guy.
Two more quick things for you, Matt, if you would. Thoughts on Bills rookie running back Ray Davis?
Davis is fun. You know, as everyone's seen right now, he's a stout, powerful back who has some good quickness to him. I think he's a good runner between the tackles. He could give you a red zone presence if you want to use him in that deep red zone area. He's someone that I think catches the ball reasonably well. His pass protection is something that's going to be put to the test. If the Bills show that they trust him early, like, say, the Titans trusted, Spears, Tajay Spears last year in New Orleans, week one, and having him blocking defensive ends and doing that kind of thing, you know he's done well in camp and he's really turned a corner. But I doubt very seriously because Spears was good at that. I think that this is the weakness of Ray Davis's game, which may hold him back to a situational role unless they're desperate for due to an injury. And I think that at this stage, though, he could grow into a fine complement or even the lead back if he really hammers down the pass blocking.
One more. We ask about this player because, well, the Bills are tied to him. Were you a Xavier Worthy fan? And how do you like that fit for Kansas City? They trade up with the Bills and snag the guy that they want. Not everybody would have liked him, of course. How did you scout grade Worthy and the landing spot as well?
Sure. You know, I thought the first 6 to 7 receivers in this class would have been tier one in several of the classes prior. And Coleman was my number 6 receiver. Worthy was my number 4 receiver. But again, when you look at linear grades, they can be misleading because it's about fit. Would Worthy have fit with this team? Absolutely, because he gives you a lot of what Shakir and Samuel will provide, but with a lot more, even more speed. He's kind of, I compared him to DeSean Jackson because he's tougher at the catch point and in the middle of the field than people would realize. He's a pretty good route runner already. He has some drops, but the technique and the process that he uses to catch the football is pretty sound. And he makes a lot more big plays in terms of difficult catches than a guy who has a profile of, you know, serial dropping the football. So looking at him, I think he was a better fit in Kansas City than what the Bills are looking for. And, you know, the Bills want to have different, it's like having different types of golf clubs in your bag, you know, and they already had the type of players that fit what Xavier Worthy is. And Coleman's the type of player that offers him a different dimension and gives Josh Allen the confidence to throw some balls up there. Because if there's a receiver that I joke that if there's a receiver that you could win money basically by in a contest where you'd say there's a brick wall and the receiver has to somehow get around over or through this brick wall to catch a football, the only player I probably would make a remote bet on in this class would have been Keon Coleman.
All right.
And so, you know, I think that they made the right choice with Coleman.
Matt Harmon, rookie scouting portfolio.
Waldman.
Sorry, Matt Waldman. I did like five times.
Say off reception. Perception.
Listen, you're not the only one. Earlier this week, I did Charles McDonald, Charles Robinson. I'm getting old, Matt. I do this. I make
he's
mistakes.
The old guy in the show.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I know all those guys, and he's my nephew.
Okay.
Tell you that.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Matt. Matt Waldman, rookie scouting Thanks. Portfolio. Always a pleasure, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Hey, listen. If I do it more and more, then
it just becomes a running bit.
Yeah, that's like a good thing I do. It's like a Levitard show, right? Like,
yes.
Somebody on Dan Levitard's show does something like this, and they're like, oh, you're the guy that gets everybody's last name wrong
yes.
all the time,
yeah.
confusing them for someone else.
Yep. Yeah, we need like a buzzer. We need a buzzer.
He did it again.
Or
like,
a sound.
Yeah, yeah. Get a sound effect, like balloons drop, horns go, like, he did it again.
And like a, what are they, like the siren that you would hear go off.
Yeah.
Like in a nuclear fallout like type of siren. That's what we need.
So Chase Claypool's season is over. Yes.
All right. I think we should leave the bet. The more I think about it, the more we should leave the bet.
Okay, fine.
Because I might win it anyway with MVS.
I think you are in trouble.
I don't think MVS should be on this 53-man roster.
Okay, but Claypool had a shot.
Yeah.
And who's the Claypool type? KJ Hamler?
Like no.
Who's happy today about
Shavers?
Shavers?
I need Shavers.
Okay, ready? Yeah. Shavers makes the team. That's Shakir, Samuel, Coleman, Hollins, Shavers. Are they only going with five?
Then I'm going to need a return guy to make it two. And I need that return guy to be a receiver. If it's Daquan Hardy, then I think I'm in trouble. Then I think I'm done.
I think you're in trouble to begin with. I think you're in trouble.
I think my path to victory,
Electoral College.
Yeah. My path to victory, Samuel, Shakir, Coleman, Hollins. So those four are in.
Yep.
You've got Claypool, we're putting on an MVS to get to a room that doesn't include him. I need Shavers to beat him out as the depth X receiver guy, tall, that plays special teams also. And then I need a receiver to make the team based on his return ability. And that's got to be Hamler or Isabella. I'm out.
Or
Damir Bird, potentially. Imagine if I win this with Damir Bird.
Be great.
Showing up at the buzzer.
I think Shavers is going to make it because of the consistency. He's consistent. If there's one thing MBS is not, it's consistent. Actually, wait a minute. Maybe he is. He consistently drops the ball. But consistency.
But then if I get a receiver that makes it as a return man, it's Shavers versus MVS, isn't it? If a receiver is a returner, then it's Shavers versus MVS for the last spot.
Yep. And who's Josh tight with? That would be
Shavers. Get him a fruit basket.
That would be a moment. That would
edible arrangements.
Would it be too far to say that's a moment where we know being tight with the quarterback is more important than performance at camp? Would that not be true? It'd be tough to argue.
It could be money also.
Okay.
I don't tend to think it's enough for that to be the sole reason. No, it would make it.
It'd be tough to argue.
Can I get Tyrell Shavers out on the golf course a little bit?
803-0550.
Get some common ground with Josh.
Jim, thanks for waiting. Josh is going to kill me, so we have to bring you back on the other side. Or Josh will kill me, so blame Josh. Jim in Rochester on the other side. And I had something else I was going to get. What was it? It's really great, whatever it is. Stay tuned.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, they do the Chicago with the pickle spear and the peppers and the tomatoes. Oh, that's an earthquake. That's an earthquake.
Oh, wow, that is a real earthquake.
Whoa, that is a real one, guys.
All right.
Hold on. Let's see if we're going to get worse here. Still rolling.
Hey, watch your...
Still rolling.
Yeah, TV right above your trap.
So. Okay. We're all good so far.
All right.
Em, you good? I'm really asking.
It's a good shape.
She all right over there?
Yeah, she's good.
Okay. Yeah.
That really happened.
Is that your first one, Em?
Yeah.
I don't want to.
What'd you think?
I'm going underneath this.
What'd you think?
That was smart, Em. She went down.
Yeah, no, she did it right.
Earthquake in L.A. We had an earthquake when last year.
Yes, we were on the air.
Yeah.
In the 6 a.m. hour. Felt like a car hit the building.
Yeah. All right. Get a phone call in and then bring you possibly the most ridiculous trade in the history of the NHL.
I might excite you about it, actually.
Okay. Jim in Rochester, though, first. Hey, Jim.
Hi, guys. Earlier, you were talking about the most impressive or the best Josh Allen throw since he's been here. And immediately brought to mind 2021, and I don't think it's on film anywhere. I've never seen it, never even seen a replay. 2021 blue-red scrimmage. We're at the Bills sideline, 40-yard line, 10 rows up, perfect spot. Josh comes running, rolling out to his right at us. Has to end up running full speed towards the sideline. Turns before he gets to the sideline and fires it all the way down to the 5. Perfect pass, a bullet, and McKenzie dropped it. It was the most impressive throw. I used to be a quarterback in high school and whatnot, and seeing 60 years old, I've seen tons of football. I've never seen a throw better than that in my life, and I don't know how you can even get a replay of it.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, blue-red's tough. I remember Allen's 70-yard rocket launch in the first preseason game in his first start. Landed out of bounds, mm-hmm. but it was like, I'm going to show everybody in this building how far I can throw a ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for waiting. Sorry to keep you waiting as long as you did. Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. On Josh Allen's most memorable throw, he said, Allen told Chris Long on the Greenlight podcast, it's the touchdown to Kumerow in Denver. That's his most memorable throw because he just unleashed fury and threw it as hard as he could. You can give us a call on that as well if you want, 803-0550. Okay, here's the blockbuster NHL trade.
Yeah.
First off, the
on first sight, it's unbelievable.
The Penguins traded a 2025 second and a 2026 fifth to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
For a 2025 third and a 2026 second.
Yep. In the middle of August.
In the middle of August, two pick swaps in next year's draft and the year after's draft.
Right.
One of these is a 2026 fifth round pick.
Yep.
You can't find anything between your seats worth less than a 2026 fifth round pick. It has zero value.
You would have traded that for a quarter in the fountain over the weekend. That fifth round pick.
And yet that got traded today.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh decides in this year's draft that they don't need a second. They would like a third. And St. Louis, who didn't have a second, is thinking, wow, we really need a second round pick.
Yeah. Okay, can I now?
They have to release the audio of this phone call. We must hear it.
Can I maybe excite you now about this trade?
You can try.
I might actually. Earlier, you convinced me that I should be excited about buying a trading card in the year 2024. I might get you to be excited about a trade of future draft picks in the NHL on August 13th. Ready?
Yeah.
The Blues are reacquiring their second round pick in next year's draft.
Their own second round pick.
That second round pick they're getting from Pittsburgh originally was theirs.
Okay.
They're getting it back. So
they're going to offer sheet Dreisaitl? Or who's the offer sheet guy?
Carolina's got three of them, I think.
Nietzsche's
and Jarvis, I think, is another one. I think Carolina's got a couple.
Okay.
That is the only explanation that makes any sense, right?
Reacquiring your own second round pick.
Yeah. You would, and there are some offer sheets where you would.
They've already tendered offer sheets. Oilers, Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway.
Okay, they've done it?
They've done it.
Okay, well, there you go.
I take it back. Good trade.
There you go.
Trading for your, but here, okay, fine. I'm still going to find a way to make fun of the NHL.
Yeah.
This is a league where you can trade away a second round pick and get it back for free.
They give a third and a third round trade up, kind of.
They got their own pick back for free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shouldn't Pittsburgh, if the idea in an offer sheet is that the team sending the offer sheet will get retribution, shouldn't Pittsburgh be attached?
You know what I mean? Edmonton should be furious.
Shouldn't Pittsburgh be calling Edmonton right? Like, I didn't know they were going to do that. Don't get mad at me. Don't offer sheet my guys.
Of course they knew they were going to do that.
No, they did. They lost them.
You want your pick back?
Yeah.
Also, Pittsburgh, how do you not get more out of them?
Right.
You can't make these offer sheets without this pick.
You need the pick.
You better give me more than... They got a third rounder.
They
moved down a round and then moved up two rounds in 2 years.
Yeah, right.
What a league.
It is the stupidest league on planet Earth.
Hey,
we got offer sheets, though. Those never happen. I mean, it would be cooler if it was for better players, but, you know, these players are not great. Dylan Holloway, 38 games last year, 6 goals, 3 assists. I think, though, he was a first-round pick a couple years ago. So maybe he's still, you might want to qualify him as a prospect still. And then who was the other guy they got? Broberg is, same thing, 22 years old, younger player. So they're going after... Broberg was the 8th overall pick in 2019. He has yet to play a full season in the NHL. And Holloway is kind of the same thing. 22 years old, hasn't established himself just yet. So they're trying to get in on the ground floor with two younger Oilers. Holloway was the 14th overall pick the year after. So they just offer sheet two first-round Oilers that have played less than a season.
Interesting.
Hey, you got your offer sheets.
Wonder if any team with a lot of draft picks could have ever done that. In the last couple of years. Offer sheets. Wow. They're going to be so mad at the Blues.
Yeah.
Another talking point that died a pretty quick death, didn't it? Oh, these GMs would be so mad. Are you going to be mad about this? These guys aren't even in the NHL.
Well, it did kind of happen a couple years ago, didn't it? Where was it? Montreal offer sheeted Aho.
Yeah.
And then Carolina the next year in retaliation offer sheeted and took away Kotkaniemi. So it did kind of happen, didn't it? I was glad it happened. I want more of these. And you had two there. You got two here in the moment. This is 17 years of buildup because the Oilers had it coming because they offer sheeted Thomas Vanek in 2007. The whole league knew. The Oilers, they've been asking for it for 17 years.
Yeah, karma.
Karma, that's right. Vanek karma.
We should have a segment called Karma. We'll play Chapel Roan's My Kink is Karma, and we'll talk about karma. Here you go, Edmonton. Karma for your offer sheet of Thomas Vanek.
Mm-hmm.
Now two players that don't play for you have been offered very modest contracts. these contracts are going to be, what, tiny?
Yeah. Well, one of them is going to include a second-round pick. Right? That's the other thing. To do two of them, at that point, why not go for a big one somewhere? Why do two smaller offer sheets? Do one big one. Offer sheet compensation. So
a second-round pick is a guy making $2.3 million.
All right, well, that's probably one of them, and then the other one's probably a third.
Yeah.
Between one. Well, if you're getting the guy to sign with you, no, they're not going up to a first-round pick for one of these guys, are they?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so, okay, one of them's going to be in the second-round pick range, and the other one's going to be in the third-round pick range. Oh, wait, did they trade their third?
They traded their third.
Okay, so one of them's going to be a first-round pick then.
Well, that
has to be, right?
No.
They don't have their third.
One of the really weird things about the offer sheet stuff, let me pull up what I just looked at, is that you have multiple years to give up the compensation. Like if it's
okay, so you think they could give up back to back seconds, but then they get Pittsburgh their second too.
There's also an offer sheet that requires no compensation. You could sign a guy to 1.4, and you just get to have him.
Okay, but that would be what's the point then? Because Edmonton's not. Well, why is Edmonton doing that?
Because they don't have a roster spot for him. They don't want to pay him. Because
but to let a first round pick of a couple years ago go away for free.
The Blues have stupid. They have all their own picks now. They have a second. They have a third. They traded away a third in 2026.
Okay,
so they can do a second round offer sheet and a third round offer sheet. Congratulations.
No, the third was the next year, 25.
Oh, okay.
The second was in 26.
Well, the other offer sheet includes a first and a third. You need a third for two different offer sheet
levels. Okay, well, never mind. They're not going up to a first, a second, and a third for one of these guys. And $6.4 million to $8.5. Okay, right. So, yeah, they're not doing that.
803-0550. You ranked your top 10 Disney villains yesterday.
Yes, I did.
On the news that Villainland is coming.
Yep. Problem?
I don't know. Did you get a lot of pushback?
No. I got some laughs because I put Vladislav Tretiak on the list from Miracle, of course. I thought I might get a little pushback from the Jaguar or / Panther, whatever it is, in Tarzan. But if you've watched that movie, that thing is terrifying.
Is it a villain?
Yes.
Doesn't a villain have to have...
The beginning of the movie is he... Spoiler alert. He kills Tarzan's parents and then... eats what's Kala's the gorilla, Kala's baby gorilla.
I mean,
that's in the first 5 minutes, and then he fights Tarzan.
That's a villain. That's just an animal eating.
Nah, this is there's some menace behind this one though.
He
doesn't eat the parents. The parents are laying there. That's where they find him. Really traumatizing, by the way.
So you're telling me this jaguar leaves the parents and doesn't even eat them?
You see in the beginning of the movie, they are laying there when Kala the gorilla discovers them.
Right.
And discovers Tarzan. So this jaguar was murdering in cold blood.
Without even going, are we sure it didn't go back and later devour it?
Because I don't know that.
Jaguars are known, they will kill and then drag it up into trees. So if it's already up in a treehouse.
They were already in a treehouse.
Okay, so then that's just the jaguar's kill in its spot.
And you think it's coming back?
Yep.
I don't know. They didn't go that in depth.
Come on.
I think it qualifies.
Come on. Tarzan, give us the rest of the story.
I think I got more pushback for people I did not include.
Like Abuela?
Like, I did not see that one. Abuela is from Encanto?
Yeah, there's a villain. She's a villain.
Oh, that's a good one. Sid from Toy Story not being in it, I got pushback on that. The Evil Queen from Snow White. Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. The guy from Hunchback of Notre Dame, but I don't remember his name. Was
Quasimodo.
Really bad. Also, someone told me Darth Vader should have been on the list. I know he's...
It's not Disney.
Star Wars is owned by Disney, but come on. That's not the game we're playing here.
All right, we got to get a break in. Offer sheets in the NHL.
Also, when we come back, a new flavor of cola that I'm going to ask you if it sounds appetizing.
I'll try it.
There's a weird flavor of cola.
I already say yes, I'll try it, but I want to find out what it is.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, reminder, pay and guillotine. It's time to get the money in, finalizing teams.
Okay.
I got people knocking down my door to try and get in this league. So if anybody wants out of our guillotine, get out
so I can get
somebody in. You're in?
I'm in.
Josh, you in our league or no? Guillotine? And somebody drops out. We should have expansion fees. Fine. $500.
Oh.
That's the expansion fee. To be paid to the other owners of the Guillotine League.
Uh-huh.
That's it. For the right to compete.
Yep.
All right. What's the soda flavor?
Okay. So have you noticed that Coca-Cola has been trying out different flavors with different things? Like, did you try the Starlight flavor?
Nope.
It was really good. There's like a marshmallow one. They've been trying different things. Their newest flavor that they announced today, in collaboration with a certain cookie company, Coca-Cola is going to introduce Oreo-flavored Coke.
I'll have a sip.
What are the odds it's good, though?
Eh. What are the chances that all these flavors are the result of beer?
What do you mean?
Beer doing all of this.
Oh.
Like beer has...
And seltzers.
Cookie
and
beer, Oreo beer, maple pancake beer, and the soda industry is like, you know what, let's get weird.
Let's try the similar type of stuff.
Oreo Coke.
Oreo Coke.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have a sip, sure. So the Oilers have been offer sheeted. They are over the cap currently for the upcoming season. And the cap hits for the offer sheets that have just been signed by the Blues for two players combined for $6.8 million.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 2024. An NHL team has signed predatory offer sheets of an opponent in their own conference.
Wow.
The NHL. I mean, it has grown up. It's a proud day in the NHL. We can definitively say GMs are competing with one another.
Yeah.
Weaponizing cap space, but in the other way. It's a great day.
Can I throw a depressing type of thought out there real quick? Wouldn't this have been Broberg is a defenseman, Holloway is a first round center.
Okay, I got
that. Played 38 games last year.
I'm ready for your depressing news. I'm ready for it. Paterka is going to get offer sheeted?
No. Okay. Well, no. That might be worse.
One of the 35.
I was going to say, isn't this what the Blues just did a better idea by 50 than what the Sabres did with the Blues a month ago?
Which is
trading one of their best prospects for a third line center. Isn't this they're going to end up if Edmonton can't match the salary, they're going to end up getting a first round guy who's just about to crack the NHL as a centerman for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Sabres don't need more unproven young guys, but I feel like value-wise, the Blues just took advantage of Edmonton, and the Sabres probably overpaid.
He's a first-round guy, and then he developed a couple more years, and then you got him for a second.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's that. Then there's...
Yeah, Paterka being...
Who could be offer-sheeted around?
Quinn,
Paterka.
Levi.
Yup.
Next year.
I mean, that's the thing about Levi. When Levi's up, part of an offer-sheet is you got to get a player to sign it. You did just sign a 5-year contract for the guy in front of Levi. And if he's mad at you, he'll sign it somewhere else.
How mad can he be about it?
I bet he could be pretty mad about it. Talk to Paul Hamilton.
I think it would
look at Paul on the show. Paul say, I don't think Devin Levi is going to want to stay in Rochester all year.
I'd be thinking it could be a massive mistake to let him go. Given every step of his development is showing this dude's going to be a star goalie in the NHL.
Well, some NHL team out there might say, that's fine. You better pay him like it because we will.
Yep.
This is what the NHL is supposed to be like. Competitive
vultures.
GMs. Oh my goodness. So exciting. All right, we're back tomorrow. You're back tomorrow. I'm off. My son's getting his tonsils out. I had mine out when I was 3. You get your tonsils out?
Nope.
Josh? Nope. Evan, tonsils out? You guys all just hanging out here with your tonsils?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's normal now.
To have them?
Yeah. I have my wisdom teeth, too.
I don't have those either.
I scheduled a dentist appointment the day after the Super Bowl.
That's an interesting choice.
I thought about that after I did. I'm like, wait, isn't that the day after the Super Bowl? I even told him, like, you guys know I'm not coming, right? If the Bills are in the game that day, I'm like, I'm not guessing, but
if the Bills are in
the
game,
I'm not so confident that I decided to move my dentist appointment.
Listen, any appointment that asks me, oh, when can we put you on the schedule in 6 months? I'm like, whenever you feel like it. I'm just going to cancel and reschedule in 5 months anyway. But come on, 6 months? What am I doing in 6 months? I have no idea. All right. Back tomorrow, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, reminder, pay in guillotine. It's time to get the money in. Finalizing teams.
Okay.
I got people knocking down my door to try and get in this league. So if anybody wants out of our guillotine, get out
so I can get
somebody in. You're in?
I'm in.
Josh, you in our league or no? Guillotine? And somebody drops out. We should have expansion fees. Fine. $500.
Oh.
That's the expansion fee. To be paid to the other owners of the Guillotine League.
Uh-huh.
That's it. For the right to compete.
Yep.
All right, what's the soda flavor?
Okay, so have you noticed that Coca-Cola has been trying out different flavors with different things? Like, did you try the Starlight flavor?
Nope.
It was really good. There's like a marshmallow one. They've been trying different things. Their newest flavor that they announced today, in collaboration with a certain cookie company, Coca-Cola is going to introduce Oreo-flavored Coke.
I'll have a sip.
What are the odds it's good, though?
Yeah. What are the chances that all these flavors are the result of beer?
What do you mean?
Beer doing all of this.
Oh.
Like beer has...
And seltzers.
Cookie
and...
beer, Oreo beer, maple pancake beer, and the soda industry is like, you know what? Let's get weird.
Let's try the similar type of stuff.
Oreo Coke.
Oreo Coke.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have a sip. Sure. So the Oilers have been offer-sheeted. They are over the cap currently for the upcoming season. And the cap hits for the offer sheets that have just been signed by the Blues for two players combined for $6.8 million.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 2024. An NHL team has signed predatory offer sheets of an opponent in their own conference.
Wow.
The NHL. I mean, it has grown up. It's a proud day in the NHL. We can definitively say GMs are competing with one another.
Yeah.
Weaponizing cap space, but in the other way. It's a great day.
Can I throw a depressing type of thought out there real quick? Wouldn't this have been... Broberg is a defenseman. Holloway is a first-round center.
Okay, I got
that. Played 38 games last year.
I'm ready for your depressing news. I'm ready for it. Paterka's going to get offer sheeted?
No. Okay, well, no, that might be worse.
One of the 35.
I was going to say, isn't this what the Blues just did, a better idea by 50 than what the Sabres did with the Blues a month ago?
Which is?
Trading one of their best prospects for a third-line center. Isn't this... They're going to end up... If Edmonton can't match the salary, they're going to end up getting a first-round guy who's just about to crack the NHL as a centerman for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, Sabres don't need more unproven young guys, but I feel like value-wise, the Blues just took advantage of Edmonton, and the Sabres probably overpaid.
He's a first-round guy, and then he developed a couple more years, and then you got him for a second.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's that. Then there's...
Yeah, Paterka being...
Who could be offer-sheeted around...
Quinn.
Paterka.
Levi.
Yep.
Next year.
I mean, here, that's the thing about Levi. When Levi's up, part of an offer sheet is you got to get a player to sign it. You did just sign a 5-year contract for the guy in front of Levi. And if he's mad at you, he'll sign it somewhere else.
How mad can he be about it?
I bet he could be pretty mad about it. Talk to Paul Hamilton.
I think it would be...
We'll get Paul on the show. Paul will say, I don't think Devin Levi is going to want to stay in Rochester all year.
I'd be thinking it could be a massive mistake to let him go. Given every step of his development is showing this dude's going to be a star goalie in the NHL.
Well, some NHL team out there might say, that's fine. You better pay him like it because we will.
Yep.
This is what the NHL is supposed to be like. Competitive
vultures.
GMs. Oh, my goodness. So exciting. All right, we're back tomorrow. You're back tomorrow. I'm off. My son's getting his tonsils out. I had mine out when I was 3. You get your tonsils out?
Nope.
Nope. Josh? Nope. Evan, tonsils out? You guys all just hanging out here with your tonsils?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's normal now.
To have them?
Yeah. I have my wisdom teeth, too.
I don't have those either.
I scheduled a dentist appointment the day after the Super Bowl.
That's an interesting choice.
I thought about that after I did. I'm like, wait, isn't that the day after the Super Bowl? I even told him, like, you guys know I'm not coming, right? If the Bills, like, are in the game that day. I'm like, I'm not guessing, but...
If the Bills are
I'm
in the game...
I'm not so confident that I decided to move my dentist appointment.
Listen, any appointment that asks me, oh, when can we put you on the schedule in 6 months? I'm like, whenever you feel like it, I'm just going to cancel and reschedule in 5 months anyway. But come on. 6 months? What am I doing in 6 months? I have no idea. All right. Back tomorrow, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.